Good evening, Bob. Welcome to the Space Show.
Thank you, Andrew. My pleasure to be here.
Some years ago, the Space Show, about 2 years ago now, I think it was, the Space Show asked its listeners to send in their signatures if they wanted their name to go out to the planet Saturn. Well, we have with us tonight the Bob here, who's one of the persons responsible for that mission. And Bob, thank you very much on behalf of the listeners for allowing us to send our signatures out to Saturn.
Oh, well, you're certainly welcome. We were glad to be able to do that. It was a nice move to get people interested, involved, and aware of what we were doing. And the program worked out remarkably well. I'm not sure how many signatures we got finally, but it was a lot. And they're all there. They're written pretty small, as you can imagine, but they're all there and going to Saturn.
Okay, so what's the Cassini mission about?
It is about studying Saturn. It's going to be a very exciting mission. We've been to Saturn before. Voyager flew by Saturn back in, I think it was about 81 or 82, with two spacecraft, but that was a flyby. Saturn is going to go into orbit around Cassini. It's going to be operational for 4 years after it gets there. We have an atmospheric probe called the Huygens probe, built by the European Space Agency and delivered to us to fly on the Cassini spacecraft. It's going to go into the atmosphere of Titan and will make measurements all the way down to the surface. And we expect that it'll even continue to operate for an hour or two once it has reached the surface. So it isn't just a crash landing. It'll hit with a pretty good bump, but it's on a parachute, and we expect it to survive that. Then the Cassini spacecraft continues in orbit around Saturn, as I said, for the 4 years. In these 4 years, we're going to have repeated flybys of the moon Titan. Titan is the largest moon at Saturn. In fact, it's the only large moon. There are quite a number of just small, rocky, icy chunks that are up to a few hundred kilometers in diameter. But Titan is the only big one at Saturn. So we fly by it multiple times, perhaps 40 or 50 or 60 times before we're done. We're still sorting out some of the trajectory details to determine just how many times we go by Titan and how many times we fly by some of these smaller ones. We're going to be making some detailed studies of Saturn's rings. I think that's going to be very exciting, not only for the scientific community, but for the public as well. Everybody has seen pictures of the rings, and when they're properly lit with the sun in the right direction, they're a beautiful sight. We're going to learn a lot more about what they're made up of, what the dynamics are that make them look like they do. As you recall from Voyager, we found these wheel spoke-like patterns in them that we don't yet understand why they're there like that. The gaps, we sort of understand. We think the gaps are caused by these other small satellites that orbit at those distances. We intend to learn, hope to learn a lot about the rings. The atmosphere of Saturn is another primary objective to study. The magnetic field of Saturn. Saturn has a very large magnetic field, just as Jupiter does. The radiation environment is not nearly as severe, just because the whole system is a smaller system. But magnetic field there is a major structure, and we want to understand better how it works, how it interacts with Titan, how it interacts with the small icy satellites. And then we have a radar on board the Cassini spacecraft, and we're going to use that to do mapping of the surface of Titan. We've never seen the surface of Titan. Titan has this very dense, nitrogen-rich atmosphere, and you can't see through it with a visible camera. So when the Hubble Space Telescope, for example, looks at Titan, all it sees is this big ball of gas. But with the radar that we have on board, we're going to map the surface of Titan very much like Magellan did of the planet Venus. So those are some of the things that we hope to accomplish, hope to find out when we get there.
Now, Bob, we've talked about the Huygens craft, which is going to land on Titan, and the Cassini craft, which is in orbit around Saturn, but will be flying past Titan. Obviously, you're going to coordinate these results. What are you looking for?
Well, it gets quite complicated in terms of how all the different investigations interact, and some of the details we're still sorting out. But we'd like to get a good, complete picture of the Titan system. normally we talk about the larger overall Saturnian system, but Titan represents a system in its own right, with the solid surface, with the perhaps liquid oceans of methane. We don't know that, but there are a number of scientists that speculate that that's what we'll find. And with the nitrogen atmosphere, it's quite a complex body. As we learned a number of surprises at Jupiter with the Galileo mission, and so we're going into Titan with an open mind and trying to figure out just exactly what's there. Now, on the Huygens probe, there are 6 instruments, and on the Cassini spacecraft, there are 12 instruments. So between those, we are very well equipped to figure out just exactly what's there, how Titan operates, perhaps how it evolved. One of the things, I think the most exciting thing about going to Titan, is that it is believed that Titan today is very much like Earth was 3 or 4 billion years ago, with its nitrogen-rich atmosphere, perhaps the temperatures, although Titan is probably quite a bit colder. So it makes a natural laboratory to study, with the possible outcome of learning more about how life may have evolved on Earth, how the atmosphere of Earth may have evolved to get to be what it is today, if, in fact, that's what Earth looked like 3 billion years ago.
Almost as good as having a time machine.
That is exactly right.
And what, are you going to be studying the other moons as well?
Yes. The other moons are less exciting, or at least we're excited less by them now. When we get there and look at them, we may change our minds. But there are several, I forget the number now, but 4 or 5 or 6 of the others that we'll be flying fairly close to, within a few hundred kilometers at least. And yes, we will be taking images over various spectral ranges of the other smaller moons as well.
And of course Saturn itself.
Oh yes, there will be a lot of attention focused on Saturn. The instruments on the Cassini spacecraft are, to some significant extent, designed to be concentrating on Saturn. In fact, if you include Saturn's magnetic field as part of Saturn, then except for the radar to focus on Titan, the rest are going to serve very well to measure Saturn. Of course, there's some duplication. The camera will do equally as well on Titan as it will on Saturn, and we'll use that just as much as we can.
What do we know about the rings? In particular, I'm interested in knowing, if you went there and you could sit there in the rings and looked out the window of your spacecraft, what would you see? Would there be particles all around you, or would it be some distance away?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure I know the answer to that, Andrew. Based on what we can see from the ground with the Hubble Space Telescope, and based on what we saw from the Voyager spacecraft, probably what you would see is chunks of ice, of rock, of perhaps both, that would be pretty good size relative to the spacecraft that you're flying. And you'd look out and you'd see one here and another one over there. Now, whether there's going to be smaller dust-type particles in there, I don't know. I would guess probably there's not, because the gravitational effects and the sweeping out effects that you get of these other particles going through there, and I refer to them as particles, they're probably bigger than what we normally think of as particles. These are, let's call them chunks, are going to tend to sweep up small debris in there. That's my guess. But when we get there and really look at it, we may find something different yet. I don't know.
How do you think the rings originated? And are they long-lived, or are they certainly a transitory phase?
They probably are quite long-lived. Over the time that people have been looking at them, which now amounts to some 400 years, there's no evidence that they have evolved significantly. So over hundreds of years time scale, they're pretty fixed. It would be my guess that they've probably been there for quite a few millions of years, and perhaps even longer than that. There are various theories about how they may have formed. One is that there may have been a larger moon at some point that broke up. Another is that they may have formed in the process of the planet itself forming, and that they never quite coalesced into a single larger body like Titan. We see the same effect at Jupiter. Jupiter also has a ring. has rings, not nearly as big, as thick, as dense as are the ones at Saturn. We did not discover the Jupiter rings from the ground. They were first discovered with the Voyager spacecraft. So there are various theories about how they may have formed, and various theories about the dynamics of them, what causes them to do what they do.
One of the most treasured pictures I have from the space age is that incredible photograph by Voyager 1 as it was slung out above the solar system, out of the plane of the solar system, as it left Saturn and looked back. And you had this wonderful view from the other side of Saturn, the Saturn side we've never ever seen from the Earth. And an amazing photograph. And of course, Voyager returned a whole number of these. Is Cassini going to give us some photograph that will stand out as we go into the next century? Well, it would be the next century, of course, by the time we get it there. But would there be something that will stand out in the textbooks?
Probably not a single one that'll stand out above all the others. I hope, and I think it's quite likely, that there will be a whole bunch of them that are going to be very spectacular, notable images. Once we get into orbit, we will never get as far out as Voyager got to look back and take a big global image. We will be getting global images, they just won't be from that distance. But we're going to be taking images from all different lighting angles, from quite a variety of ranges, and I think what's going to result is not a single noteworthy picture, but so many pictures you'll be hard-pressed to look at it and decide which one you like the best. And you'll like all of them.
And, of course, the image processing techniques have improved vastly since the days of Voyager, and I presume we're going to get those wonderful fly-arounds like we had at Magellan, at Venus, and that sort of thing as well, done by the JPL image processing team?
We fully intend to do that, yes. We expect that we're going to have movies where we will take pictures on a one-after-the-other basis, and you'll be able to look at movies that will show how any movement in the atmosphere, the storms, the turbulence. I fully expect we're going to do that.
And we'll be able to see these on the Internet in the same way we can see the Galileo ones today.
Yes, that is certainly the plan. We fully expect to do that. They're going to be available to the public. A lot of the emphasis of this mission is that it's a scientific mission for the people of the world. We have a number of international partners on the spacecraft who have contributed, spacecraft including the Huygens probe, who have contributed instruments or subsystems, the antennas. So it very much is an international project, and it's for the people of planet Earth. We hope everyone is excited by it.
And everything's healthy aboard the craft at the moment?
Right now, the spacecraft is doing just great. We couldn't ask for it to be doing any better. It's now about a year from launch, and all of the subsystems are doing just exactly what they were designed to do.
Where is it at the moment? You went past the trajectory, of course, was rather convoluted. We haven't talked about that.
Yes, it was quite convoluted. The problem we had was that when we launched from Earth, even though we launched on the most powerful launch vehicle that the United States has, the spacecraft was so heavy that we couldn't launch it direct from Earth to Jupiter. This full-up spacecraft with the propellant load on it weighs about 6,000 kilograms. So what we did, instead of launching to Jupiter, we launched to Venus. Now, that's kind of an interesting detour, but what happens is we use the gravity of Venus, use the gravitational interaction between Venus and the spacecraft to add energy to the spacecraft relative to the Sun. Of course, the energy relative to Venus doesn't change because in the two-body problem, you have the law of conservation of energy. But in the three-body problem, with the Sun as the central body, you can exchange energy between Venus and the spacecraft. The total relative to the Sun stays the same, but the spacecraft gets a little more, and Venus gets just infinitesimally less. So we're going to go out and go around the Sun again. We'll come back around, fly by Venus a second time for the same reason. Then from Venus, we have a straight direct shot of about 2 months in duration where we go back, fly by the Earth for the first time and the only time. That adds even more energy. We then go to Jupiter, fly by it, and get some more energy yet, and that is adequate to take us out to Saturn. Now today, where we have just we flew by Venus back in April of this year, we're now out approaching the aphelion point, the far out point from the sun. Not quite there yet, but we're headed in that direction. Today, the sun and Earth and Cassini are coming into a straight line alignment. Not quite there yet, just another month or two, but we're approaching that configuration. Then we head back in toward Venus.
That's a very exciting trajectory. So we've got a long wait yet to go until we get to Saturn.
We do. There's got 6 years about. We arrive at Saturn the first part of July of 2004. So, yes, it's a long ways, but we've got a lot of work yet to do before we're ready to be there. If we were going to arrive yet this year, we'd be in trouble. We wouldn't be ready. We're still building software that we're going to operate on the spacecraft. We're still building software we're going to operate on the ground. But this was all part of the plan. We knew that we had 7 years to get there, and so we deliberately planned the activities so that we were doing quite a bit of this development while we were in flight. And it's on schedule, and it's coming along very well.
Well, there we are. Listeners, we promised that when we took your signatures, we'd keep you up to date with how this craft is going right up until we arrive at Saturn. Thank you for joining us tonight on The Space Show, Bob.
My pleasure, Andrew. Glad to be here. Always like to talk about Cassini.